Hi everyone, it's Sandy Leva, and this is Toolbox number 4. This will be the last in our series of 4 webinars where we're sharing our forms and samples and templates and processes with you. So welcome. I will paste in the download page, which is the same as it has been. Did that work? There we go. So there's the download page, paste it into chat, and the password is this perfect 12. All right, so that's that. And if you need CPE, then please stay on the line for 50 minutes from the top of the hour, or whenever you logged in, whichever is later, and answer 3 out of the 4 polling questions that we have for you. All right, so today we're going to talk about the executive and the admin functions and forms and processes that can go around that, including staffing. So you're going to see a lot of staffing related forms today. And then if you have any questions from the prior sessions, please feel free to jump in. Hopefully you're getting the hang of what's possible and you're downloading things and you're starting to make them your own. So that's my goal for you in this course. So let's go ahead and just jump in with the first one. This is a little bit out of order in my opinion, with a supplemental agreement. That should actually be down with the offer letter. So why don't I do this in the right order? I'm scrolling down, a sample offer letter sample is misspelled a little bit there, but this is the offer letter that we use. Just remember that I can't give legal advice here. So something as important as hiring someone, you're going to need to run this by an attorney to make sure, you know, there aren't mistakes with things. But basically what we do is we have an offer letter when we hire someone, and then we have a supplemental agreement. So let me get back to the download page. And Okay, let me get back to the download page. And here's the supplemental agreement. I thought I had all these open. Maybe I didn't do it right. Okay, so this is a supplemental agreement that goes with the offer letter for hiring employees, okay? Just be crystal clear on this, because there's a lot of other things that aren't typically in an offer letter. Now, again, I'm not a lawyer. I can't give legal advice, but these are things like policies on computer use, what they're going to agree to do and not do, what about confidential information, you know, are they going to take away your clients? I know a lot of people have fears about that, and that's why they don't hire in the first place. Again, I'm not going to make any comments from a legal standpoint because I have my opinions about these things, but this is, you know, something that you want to consider when you're working, when you're hiring staff. The next one on the list is staffing checklist. So let's take a look at that one. A lot of these are in PDF, so that makes it easier. So for me, this is just a very quick bullet list of items that I have to do from all the way from hiring to onboarding the employee. So again, you may want to just make this yours. You know, I need to figure out what skills I need to be hiring for first. I need to look and see if it's in my plan and budget. I need to create a job description. I need to create an ad from that. I need to decide where to post the ad. And then I need, in my case, I typically, when I can, do a group interview. I haven't done that in a while. If the economy is really bad, it's super easy to do a group interview where you just kind of work with a whole group of people that want the job. If it's a little bit more scarce, you can do one-on-one interviews, and so on and so forth. Interviewing, testing, background check, and then once you've hired them, all of these things, you know, that you need to order and figure out where they're going to be. Are they going to be virtual? Do they need a computer? How do you get them onboarded for workers' comp and health insurance and payroll? Do you need to give them keys? Anyway, so these are the things that are just a list of things to do when you hire an employee. All right, so that's that. So let's get back to the PowerPoint. And this one is going to really vary. The sample authorization and release is one that's going to vary a great deal depending on where you get the background check. So that's typically a, let me see if I can bring it up here. That's typically something, well, heck. That's typically something that you would get potentially from the okay, let me just put this on the desktop. Something that you would get from the background check company that you're going to be using in order to check the person out. So, this is just something that you'll want to get the person to sign an authorization release. This particular one comes from IntelliCorp, and I'll go ahead and go there because that has been the company that we've used for background checks. IntelliCorp.net. Sorry, I'm clicking on their Google ad, but this is basically the person that we use for our background check. So I got this particular one, and I'll paste that in your chat box so that you have that in case you don't have a place to go for background checks. State by state, laws vary on what you're able to ask in terms of a background, but again, just things that may need to be included in your hiring process. All right, we'll talk more about the hiring process in just a minute. I want to share with you an assessment that I created a couple of years ago for the Accountants Accelerator members, and they get this for free, or the library members do at this point anyway. And I've got it pulled up here. So this is something that I pulled together, and you guys are better at Excel than I am. So I'm just saying that right now. And basically here I'm asking questions on how your firm ranks in terms of maturity and, happiness and things like that. So what you do here with this, once you've opened the assessment in an Excel format, you're going to put a little X by each of the multiple choice answers. And that will, and you want to just, answer truthfully to each of these. And then once you score, you can score this. Let me just add a couple X's here. You just go through and answer the questions. And what you're happy with. And this also will give you insight into what areas you may want to work on a little bit when it comes to improving your business. So we go all the way from, are you generating enough revenue, or do you feel like you're worth your price, or that, your clients are, feeling good about, your pricing. What about communication and client satisfaction, technology, and so on and so forth? And then a bunch of marketing stuff, sales, just all the different functions of a normal business, finance, that kind of thing. And then what you can do is it'll actually score you based on all the X's. And you can see my score is kind of low because I didn't do a lot of X's, but you can go back and look at this particular, you can look at this after you've done it, and actually it's tied to stuff, it's tied to products that actually don't go with this course, but the key is for you to see what improvement that you might have. And that's actually the scoring, so you probably don't want to look at that until after you've scored. But it's my kind of low-tech way of having you look at where there are opportunities for improvement. So you can glean a lot even if you don't have the particular resources that the test refers you to. So I just threw that in there, you know, is kind of a fun thing for you guys to do if you want. Okay, so let's get back to the PowerPoint. So that's the assessment. And let's do the first polling question. Where do you see areas for improvement in your own business? You can choose more than one here. All right, who else needs this polling question? Jump on in. I'm going to give you about 8 more seconds. Okay, so 79% of you said manual processes. So there may be a lot of things that you can do to speed those up. 48% lack of integration, 43% outdated processes, and 17% duplicate data entry. Well, these forms are going to help some of that, but technology is going to help a lot as well, which I guess would have to be another course. All right, the other thing that I want to share is pricing. I put together a spreadsheet a while back because most of you that have team members that you bill out at an hourly rate may benefit from seeing the profitability of those team members and whether you're pricing them too low or too high to the client in comparison to what you're paying them. So this form is here. I don't know. Oh, there it went. Okay, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. That's just weird. Okay. That's the problem right there. Okay, now, pricing billable team members. This is complicated. So this is why I want to spend a little bit of time explaining it. So there are formulas in a lot of these little areas, but basically let's look at the action items at the bottom first. These are just tips on, you know, how to use this spreadsheet. But what you can do is you compare two numbers to see what's happening in terms of what's going on about the client, what you're charging the client versus what you're paying. All right, so, and then I've got a couple of little scenarios here. So if you're charging the client $60, but you're paying your assistant $30, all right, then and then you're charging the assistant out at $60, and this is your billing rate too. And then you enter the hours and that kind of thing. So what you're doing is you're comparing what you would charge the client versus what the assistant would be charging the client. And then down here, you look at the costs and the profitability. It allows you to determine whether a team member is going to be profitable or how much money you're going to lose in the initial part of the learning and the learning curve, so you can kind of plan out your cash flow when you first onboard a new employee. So that's what the purpose of this is. And what's happening in the industry is a lot of times when you get your first employee, you end up charging too low, and you think that, you know, if I double the rate to the client, that's going to work. But our percentage in the industry is really 4-to-1 or 3-to-1. So what I mean by that is if you pay someone $30 an hour, you need to be charging $120 or at least $90 per hour in order to cover your overhead, to cover your training, to cover mistakes that you can't bill a client for, and all the other things, you know, overhead, computer, that kind of thing. A 2-to-1 like this doesn't work. So you see some parentheses down here in terms of loss, all right? So that's part of it, but it just gives you, you know, use it or not, but it just gives you an idea to, you know, where your leverage is, you know, in terms of billing out your first employee. It helps you feel a little bit comfortable so that you can kind of crunch the numbers and see what's going on with different scenarios. Okay, so that's that. Let's go back to the PowerPoint. All right, so that's the billable team members. Goal tracking is just kind of really a simple one that I use in coaching before with different, with people that I was coaching that wanted to make more money. And the only way they could do it was to look at what their billable hours were. And then they were worried about, you know, delegating too much to where they didn't know whether they were, you know, losing money or not. But they wanted to delegate more and grow their staff. So what I did is I had them put in their billable hours and then how much they delegated, and then, you know, drop in these other numbers. So if that's a situation, again, this is kind of hand-holding when you hire your first employee. All right, so these last two spreadsheets are just things that you might want to consider when you're first onboarding a new employee. If you guys have several employees, then you're going to kind of be past that, although, you know, you may be interested in figuring out how you can do additional metrics for your staff if you don't already have systems that do that for you. So that's kind of the purpose of these forms here. All right, the rest of them are a little bit more, you know, applicable and generic for the rest of the world. Those last two are fairly homegrown on my part. So let's go back to the download page and take a look at the next one on our list. So the admin quiz. So when you are interviewing with a client, or I'm sorry, not a client, when you're interviewing with a prospective employee and then a candidate for employee or even a contractor, you may want to get them to do a test. So if you need an admin person, this is a test that we gave, time zone, everybody gets time zones wrong. So I just wanted to see how much they knew and how much they didn't know with this. And this is something that you may want to put together for a bookkeeper, is and this is something that I have used in group interviews where, we would bring in 20 people in a room that applied for the job and, followed a couple of basic directions and showed up. And then I would, talk about the company and how exciting it is to work here. And then I would give them this quiz. And then I would do a one-on-one interview with the people who scored the highest or that I was most intrigued with their answers on this quiz. So again, just interview process forms that you can use, things like that. How many answers do you guys know? Not really. Okay, and then here's some interview questions that I did. Some of this I've written for Intuit, and then we've modified it a little bit. So these are some questions you can use bookkeepers that you might be hiring. Some of these are QuickBooks specific. I actually don't have the answers because, the software changes every 5 seconds. So you might, and you might have different answers than I want. And then some of these are just interview type questions, like, how eloquent were they in terms of describing the most complicated QuickBooks company file that they've worked with, that kind of a thing. And then just mixed in with things like technology and accounting knowledge. So again, so interview questions, these are the ones that we've used in the past. And I believe I have a few more. Let's see. Well, okay, so it moves to the job description. Yeah, and depending on the software you need them to work on, your things will change. But the interview questions and the job description, and then later the performance appraisal of the staff should actually kind of merge together. You should create all three of them at the same time so that it makes sense. I mean, so you can get your questions. You might want to write the job description first or take this one and modify it for your needs. And then create questions, out of this. How many, what's the largest number of users that you've set up in one particular QuickBooks file? Those kind of questions will give you answers. And what kind of business was it? Have them elaborate. But you can pull questions out of the job description. There are a couple of stages of this job description, the summary, and then the detailed duties, and then the skills. Okay, so also transactions. Well, these are just all in the duties, but I've got it kind of broken up by the software functions. And then down here, the skills and whether you require a degree or college hours or, that kind of a thing is the last thing. All right. So that's kind of, the format that I've used for job descriptions, for quite a few number of years now. And we've got one for pro, and then we've also got one for online, which is very, very similar. But just changing a little bit of the technology and the wording here for online instead of just desktop, all right, or Premier version of desktop. Okay, so that's that. All right, so that is the interview questions, and let's do another polling question. How many of you have staff? All right, most of you have voted already. So let me just give you 10 more seconds. That was a really fast question. I guess super easy to answer, right? No ambiguity there, no thinking. Okay, there we go. So 30% of you have full-time employees and 24% have part-time. So those of you that do can take these forms and look if there are any better ideas than what you have. And then if not, you're good to go with what you already have. And then 13% of you have contractors, and a third of you say it's just me. In that case, you can just keep all this stuff that we're going over that is specific to employees for the future, and then you'll have it available then. We went over the QuickBooks job description for desktop and online. Let's keep going with our download page and go over the job description for a staff accountant. And again, this is going to be a little bit different. In this case, we included, general office duties and accounting duties. And again, just a little bit more accounting stuff, but still, technology's included here. That kind of thing. This is actually the job description that I have for my staff accountant. And then you can drop in your own technology that you're using or what technology you want them to be familiar with, for example, whatever you use internally. And then if they have general office duties in addition to that, or if they have marketing duties or other things, then you might list them here. Again, and so those are all the duties. And then their knowledge and skills and abilities, and then whether you want them to have a degree or not, that would be something that you might add. Or if you want them to have a CPA, that's another thing that you would add here at the end. Okay. And then this one kind of describes characteristics, whereas, this one is more, here's what they're going to do from day to day. So those are how the job descriptions break out. All right, and this is an ad for a bookkeeper. And so there's a special way that we put that together, a kind of a summary page describing characteristics of a person, why this is an exciting opportunity, and then what they need to have. And then a bullet point list of some of the most important things, some of the details. And then one thing that I did not add to this particular format, but that I highly recommend that you do, is make them jump through some hoops when they are interviewed. So, for example, give them directions on how to submit. How to, give them directions on answering four questions or whatever in an email to you, in an email cover letter to you, and then have them submit their resume in PDF or email format. And that way you can tell who follows directions and who doesn't. And it's a really good way to eliminate a large number of people and to avoid that big resume stack. But at any rate, this job ad should tie with the job description. It won't be anywhere near as detailed, but it'll give the highlights and it'll give the applicant a good idea of what's going on. All right. All right, so that's that. And this is a little bit out of order on the page. My apologies for that because we have another job description. This one is an admin job description. Not all of you will have an admin. Oh, and this is not a job description. This is an ad. All right, so I guess it's not that out of order. All right, so this is another one, but this is admin versus staff accountant. And again, this is still a little bit, it's the same format, but it's a little bit different in terms of the requirements and that kind of a thing. All right, so in this case, I have included the four questions that we ask. You know, can you, you know, what hours can you work? What day can you start? Describe something that's relevant to the job, and then describe whatever. And then we, you know, we talk about only two formats. So if they send a Word doc, we don't even, you know, we don't even, they just get, you know, gone to the, we're not going to, you know, even consider if they send a Word doc, right? Because they need to know a little bit about technology. So this is kind of how we do the job interview and the job ad. So I've included those things in this list of admin executive type forms. Okay, so that's not a job description, that's an ad. I'll get that corrected. All right, you saw the sample offer letter already. So we've covered that. And then let's go into the project costing. Okay, for this, this is again, just again, related to when you're going to have multiple staff on a job. And these are just some beginning steps of what you're going to do in order to get a client onboarded, actually, but you can actually use it for when you're delivering client services. And who's going to do it would be here. How many hours is it going to take? And then you can do the hourly rates, the billing rates, and so on and so forth. So it's a really quick, it's just a really quick way to, if you don't have a project management system that does this for you, then this is a way that you can do it in Excel. All right, what questions do you have so far? So Tara is asking about the recording from yesterday. So let's take a look at, maybe I goofed up and didn't post it. Yeah, sure enough. I'll get yesterday's and today's recording posted today, and then you'll be all caught up. And I think then Elena will probably do the CPE Friday morning, if not over the weekend. And then we'll get all set up. Yeah, it's my bad. I probably didn't upload it, or I didn't set up the task in my little flow system for Marjorie to do it. We're really swamped right now. It's our busy season. So, you know, there's some things that, you know, just happen, right? Kathy's asking, is there one link where we could download all the PDFs at one time, or do we have to download each PDF separately? Right now, we've only got it set up to where, you know, it's going to be really quick for you to just right-click and save as, and not all of them are PDFs. So, you know, you can just right-click and save as, you know, or if, you know, if you need to, you can do it another way. But that way, yeah, no, I'm sorry, we don't really have that. If it's a PDF, then you can hit this download, you know, button here. Yeah, I'm sorry, we don't have that. If it were not busy season, we could fix that. But I just, you know, by the time we get it fixed, it would probably be end of next week. So I don't know if that would do you guys any good. All of these forms will be up until December 31st. And plan accordingly. You don't have to, you know, take an hour to download them all now. You can spread them out a little bit over time and go from there. Okay, so let me get caught up with, that should be admin. Ad, job ad, how many staff do you have? Let's do another polling question. If you're done with this polling question, take a minute to go back through the first 3 days. And if you have any questions about any of the forms, then let's talk about that. Feel free to type in the question box any questions you have remaining. I think we're going to finish early, which means I'm going to kind of go back over and wrap up and summarize some of the opportunities that you have. Okay, who else needs this polling question? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and, all right, most of you are pretty small, less than five. Well, no, a couple of you have 6 to 9 employees. And then 18%, 3 to 5. Most of you have none or up to 2 employees. Okay, great. All right, so that means you probably don't have a lot of process around this. So hopefully that'll be helpful for you. We went over the offer letter. I could go over it again very briefly because I didn't really go over the components of that. But at any rate, I can't give legal advice. Barbara's asking, do you have an answer sheet for the quiz? Which, not the assessment, but the quiz? Oh, the admin quiz I gave applicants. Is that the one, Barbara? Yeah, no, I don't have an answer sheet for that. Is there a question you want me to answer? these questions are so specific to my marketing business that I don't think they're going to be that relevant to you in terms of answers. So I think what you would want to do is go over, you know, replace these probably with some of the more common QuickBooks questions that you might ask. There used to be, Doug Sclater used to sell a QuickBooks quiz for interviewing, specifically for interviewing purposes. So that's, you know, something you might want to consider. There are some rules about giving people standardized tests. Some of them are not EEOC compliant. But I think a homegrown quiz like this, as long as there's not any kind of obvious prejudice, you can go ahead and use it. Doug Sclater, Renee, he used to own the Sclater Group, and then AccountTex bought it. But the challenge is, does it say community here? See, I think this is the event. And I don't even know how I would get to. Anybody know? Anybody still using Doug Sclater's quiz? I'll have to check that out. At any rate, it was like about 20 or 30 bucks or something like that. Oh, free. That works. Well, there you go. I don't know who this is. All right, so that would be a good thing to Google for those of you who want to look and see what's possible. Here it is. No, that's not right. QuickBooks integration, that's like not right. Anyway, that's something that, you know, might be good to look up and Google and see if there is one available. Okay, let's get back to, okay, so download page. What I was gonna go over was the offer letter. Okay, so you might decide to hire permanent or temporary. So those kind of things are really important. And then full-time versus part-time, never do it annual salary. Always do a weekly or a monthly salary because there's been lawsuits before that say, well, they were expected to work a whole year based on an annual salary, and if you do weekly, then it's going to be, you won't be held to that longer period. So there's lots of little legal things you need to know from an attorney, not me. What are the benefits? Are they going to get 401k, that kind of thing, holidays? This is very important, but that's legal, so I can't talk about what that means. What else are they going to sign? What's contingent upon, if they test positive for drugs, you may want to say zero tolerance. You'll be fired on the spot. Smoke free, if that's your thing, and so on and so forth. So anyway, those are the components of the offer letter, and there may be more. And then there's more in the supplemental agreement that are legal issues. The other thing you may want to get them to sign is a non-disclosure agreement. This is typically more for contractors for sure. So if your contractors, don't have a non-disclosure with you, then that's important for you to maybe think about getting one and taking a look at, what one. A lot of times you can Google this and then, or you can get one fairly cost effectively from an attorney, which is probably the best solution for you. And this is basically, we're not going to compete. We're not going to do anything that's going to hurt the other, that kind of a thing. Kathy says, did you show a PDF for non-compete? Non-compete is kind of a legal concept. And so I hate to really talk too much about it. I've got some things in the supplemental agreement about that, but honestly, in terms of enforceability, the jury's out in terms of, how enforceable a non-compete is. You would really need to get with an attorney on that. Let me see if I can find the. Well, heck. It has confidentiality, but I don't think there's a non-compete in mine. Most of the time that works when with partners when you're purchasing, but I'm not sure it works with employees, but I would definitely encourage you to get with an attorney on that. Okay, and then let's get back to the download page. And all right, so we talked about that, and we didn't talk about performance evaluations yet. So let's bring that one up. And again, this ties to the job description, and it ties actually bullet for bullet, because if you remember, let's see if I can get these sorted. Okay, let me get this. All right, so if you compare, all right, let me see if I can open it this way. the job description. My windows are in the way of my scroll bar, so just bear with me. That's why it looks like I'm going so slow. Okay, those were probably in PDF, which is probably why I don't see them. So let's just take a gander. Okay, let me get rid of all this. Anyway, you see the bullets for general setup and accounting records. And then you see the bullets for transactions and reporting and reconciliation. So now let's see if we can find the bullets for this kind of explains the ratings at the beginning, but this, the main job description, you see that it has the identical sections to the job description in the performance evaluation, and then it's got percentage ranking of what percentage of the job all those are important for. And then the behaviors kind of talks a little bit about the specific characteristics, you know, more of a personality part. And then there's a summary and some place to add text. And everybody's a little bit different with the way they do performance evaluations. These days, performance evaluations have started to go away a little bit, and what's been substituted is constant feedback. Now, I don't think that's caught on that much in my in accounting, because I think, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I think as an industry, we're kind of behind a lot, you know, on a lot of things, and that's certainly one of them. So anyway, use the performance evaluation the way you want. Sample email templates, let's just download that one and see what that is. So this is related to the just a couple of emails that I send out during the interviewing process for what it's worth. And then let's go back and find the last polling question. And then I think there's one or two more forms we will do after that. Tara says, I have cameras in my office in Texas. I have to notify my employee they are being recorded and they have to sign knowing that. That's a good one. I don't have a thing for that. But I don't have cameras on my employees either. Tara, why do you do that? Is that for security purposes? Or do you feel like you're in a little bit rough part of town? Do you do that for clients? Or I'm just curious why you do that. All right, who else needs this last polling question for CPE, please? There are about 50 forms. Okay, so we have almost half of you are going to use 11 to 20. 25% of you are going to use up to 10. 18% of you are going to use 21 to 30. 10% of you are going to use all of them. Okay, Renee says there's so many forms we'll need to review and decide which are the most prevalent to implement. I totally agree with you. just do what works for your business. I want you guys to just make a profit off of this, save a lot, hours and hours and hours of time, right? Tara says she keeps camera mainly for security if there are any documents, not to check up on employees, but just overall safety of records. At times, clients have said they have said something and we've gone back to check cameras to confirm. That's interesting. Okay, so let's finish on the download page. What else we need to do? Let me hide the polling. And temp offer for tryout period. This is just very similar to the job, the offer letter. Same thing, it's just temporary instead of permanent. All right, so it's really basically got the same, but it doesn't have anywhere near as many benefits. So all the benefit part of it is, you know, it does say no benefits, right? So that part is just a little bit different. The rest of it is kind of the same. All right. And then, you know what? In most states, it doesn't matter because they're still going to ding you for workers' comp if you've got to lay off the employee, even if the employment was only ever going to be temporary in the first place. But don't get me started on workers' comp in various states. Okay, what else can we answer for you before we start to wrap up this? We've done all that. Oh, privacy policy. That one we didn't have. So actually, I'm going to add that for you guys. Actually, I'll tell you where you can get that. You can go to Accountants Accelerator and go to the footer. Every one of you should have a privacy policy. And we probably don't have a very robust one when it comes to securing your documents, but you guys probably will have, you know, a document retention policy as well as a privacy statement. I believe this is something that needs to be delivered via mail to every client that you have once a year, kind of like the thing that you get from your bank and your credit card company. So anyway, this is ours. I'll look and see if I've got one. So there's a couple things for me to do. Privacy. I'll get that done when we post the recordings. And then you guys will have that. Okay. All right. What other questions do you guys have before we wrap it up? Okay. Let's wrap up the whole course in going back. Type in what you think, which form you think is the most exciting that gave you the biggest aha. All right, I know you'll have to think about it, right? Which form gave you the biggest aha? Do you remember? Or what form are you going to use the most? Michelle says marketing plan. Tara says, this has been really great. Even though I've been in business 6 years, it's so refreshing to get a different point of view on things. Lori says, an ad for the bookkeeper. Kim says, the client procedures. Okay, it scrolled too fast. Renee says, a marketing template, where I am now and where we want to go. Alexa says, the client onboarding is where I'm going to focus first. Let's see. I am still talking. Okay. Meredith says, so many of them. In 3 years, I haven't standardized anything. Kathy says, I really like the QuickBooks quizzes. I have one, but nothing as detailed as yours. Michelle says, client onboarding. Barbara says, marketing. Charlene says, marketing PowerPoint. Patricia says, your comments on pricing 4-to-1 are very insightful. Yes, we have a whole course on that. Veronica says, using the reference service to research my area. I think that's Reference USA, right? Pam says, I came in a little bit late, but I like the client onboarding and that's an interest to me this tax season. Meredith says, yes, onboarding for me too. Margaret says, marketing proposal and client onboarding. That marketing proposal, Margaret, we're going to go over in the December course if you want more detail. And also in the Accelerator Library, as far as if you guys want a lot more like training or background or whatever you would call it, the Accelerator Library is absolutely the best bet of all the courses that we have. And it has a lot of the forms that you've already seen, but it also has a lot of webinars and you can see all the things. So if you guys are interested in any more of these, we've got the 2018 pricing right now and you would get access all the way through 2018 for all of this stuff. We'd love to have you in that community. Veronica says the checklist. Jose says the marketing. Bill says the client onboarding. Alexis says, why does your legal statement in the footer reference medical advice? Because I have a degree in neuroscience and I do coaching, and we get into emotional issues sometimes that with that. Not so much the computer training, but with the private coaching. Margaret, I need to spend some time going through your site. Lots of great stuff. Thank you. Meredith, Sandy, no kidding. This has been the best $98 I've spent since I went into business. I appreciate that. All right. Thanks, everybody. I hope that we'll see some of you on the line tomorrow for Accounting Biz Talk, which is free. CPE every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. That's even a better value than the $98, right? But we don't actually give forms away there. And so I would love to see you there. It's completely free. And I would love to see some of you in the Accelerator Library because we have a little community going, you guys, which is really cool. talk.community.com. We've got over 100 people in the community now, and so you can, if you're a client of mine, email me and I may be able to get in. You know, this is the chat or lots of great advice here. These are all the people. The library stuff is here in the forum. So if you're an Accelerator Library member, you get all this. That kind of thing. Alexa's asking about the pricing and proposals accelerated course. Yeah, we're going to go over all the different pricing methods, talking mostly about value pricing and fixed fee package pricing. And we're going to go through a proposal process that is closed business for me 90% of the time. It's 4 CPE hours, and it starts in December 6th, I think. It'll be the last course that we have for the year before we start our 2018 series. And we have that as well. So these are, yeah, this is, I mean, if you want to, I don't know if you have specific questions about that. Michelle's asking, will we get an email about the pricing course? I wouldn't count on it. If we sent emails on everything that we offered, we'd be bombarding you guys and you would unsubscribe. And so we're a little bit light on the marketing. So you really have to be kind of aggressive with us and just come get what you want. Just come get what you want. 2018 schedule is here. I'm really excited about it. It's all new. And a big hint, if you buy the library or the 2018 schedule, you'll get a discount off of the other. So don't buy both of them, but buy one and then say, where's my discount link? And then I'll, you know, get you the discount link. But we're going to talk a lot about getting your websites to be more effective because all of that's dropped off in the last year. We're going to talk about Google Ads, that kind of thing. All right. So anyway, lots of things to consider for you guys, and thanks so much for being here with me on this course. Please send an email to me if I didn't get to your question, and hopefully we'll see you around soon. Bye for now.